Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, family. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to this
week's
episode of Radio Establishment Address Life. What's up, family?
Hey, happy Saturday, cousin. How you doing?
Man, I'm bugging, cousin. Dude, have you ever seen such foolishness?
Never.
have you ever seen such foolishness? Now, family, if you've been sleeping under a rock, we are directly speaking to and about the Donald Trump accidents that have gone on for the past couple of days. So just a couple of days ago, early in the week, there was a young man assaulted. I mean, straight just got. This cat got stolen in the face by an older gentleman at a rally in North Carolina. And after that, a couple of days later, there was outbreaks at rallies in St. Louis in which people were arrested. There was a shutdown of the operation in Chicago, which people were harmed and arrested. Horrible. Now, I'm watching Rachel Maddow, and we're going to go into the specifics. I'm watching Rachel Maddow last night, and Rachel put together this great collage of Trump fuming this hate speech. And that's what it is. It's straight up hate speech. It's, you know, in the old days, this wouldn't happen. I miss punching people in the face and hitting them in the mouth, get them out of here, drag them out, so on and so forth. And her point was, is he not liable for what's happening? You know, is he not instigating what's happening? Is he not stirring the pot? And I'm looking at this whole situation and listening to this whole situation, because it's been going on for quite some time. I'm like, dude, I've never seen anything like this. This, never heard of anything like this. And yes, I understand this is a different electoral season. I understand that. But what's sad is that we have regressed in our behavior instead of progressing in our behavior. And that is something that I'm just totally not used to seeing at all. That is something that is shocking. That is something to me that is causing me to go even harder in saying this cat is not ready, nor is he fit to be president. And if he thinks these things are okay, if he thinks these things are cool, somebody really needs to talk to him. Other than,
you know what, he's actually on air right now on CNN saying that what happened last night is Bernie Trump's responsibility.
Right, because what happened last night is what?
He's saying that it's Bernie Sanders' responsibility to come out and say, hey, you all need to stop. This is not my responsibility. I shouldn't have to tell people to stop. But he's saying that Bernie Sanders should come out and tell his supporters to stop, but he shouldn't tell, but Donald Trump shouldn't tell his supporters to stop. It's not his responsibility.
Okay. So let's get into the specifics. And I was saying, because Cincinnati got canceled. Breaking news, Cincinnati got canceled. He had a rally. Yeah. The city of Cincinnati said, nope, we're shutting it down. Ain't going to happen. We don't need it. We don't want it. Shut it down. You can do it someplace else. So last night, Chicago, the rally in Chicago was postponed due to security concerns, stemming from what happened early in the day in St. Louis. We'll get to that in a moment. But supporters and demonstrators clashed at the University of Chicago. There were at least five sections of protesters at this rally at the University of Chicago. This, mainly students, they didn't want it. They said they didn't want it. They petitioned the school to cancel. The school didn't cancel. They said, okay, we'll exercise our freedom of speech and our right to assemble. We're going to go in and we're going to disrupt this meeting. Several fistfights broke out. There were 300 officers on hand to handle crowd control. Two of the officers were hurt. One officer was hit in the head with a bottle. And as I said, this was after what happened in St. Louis, where 32 people were arrested because they got into fistfights as the protesters and his supporters clashed. Now, Cruz and Rubio both came out last night on television giving statements, and, you know, they were quick to jump, as they should. This is a chip in his armor. They're going after it. They're doing what they're supposed to do. Not mad at them at all. But they come out talking all this jazz about, you know, it's the candidate's responsibility to control his votes, to not have hate speech. I'm summarizing. To not spew this type of hate speech, to not put anyone in this type of predicament. How dare he? This is a lack of leadership on his part. This is why he should not be elected as president. This is why you should vote for me, so on and so forth. Both of them came out vehemently against what had happened at Trump's rallies. Here's the sad thing. When the Black Matters folk were dragged out of his rallies before, they said nothing. Nothing. When other people have gotten hit, you know, we were working with a gentleman who was attacked at one of his rallies. Correct, guys?
Yeah.
Still trying to make that
up.
We're still trying to get...
Yeah.
When other folks got hit, they said nothing. They were silent. Now it gets to a point where it's really out of control, and or they now feel comfortable enough to start attacking Trump, and now they want to hop on the bandwagon saying this, that, and the third. This should have been nipped in the bud a long time ago. It should have been nipped on the bud a long time. And I hold the Republican National Convention, the RNC, the National RNC, responsible for this as well, because they need to talk to a person who is carrying their banner and say, we do not need, want, or in any way, shape, or form condone this type of behavior. Dude, you need to stop. You need to stop or kick his ass off the ticket. Kick his ass off the ticket, go to a broker convention, because it won't be a broker convention, because he will run as an independent. Go to a broker convention and then let your delegates really tell you who and what they are about. But they're so fearful of being on the wrong side of this thing. These jokers are so twisted in their mind that they think they're going to win. They really think they're going to win. They think they have a chance at winning. So this is why Carson came out yesterday, before all this idiocy broke out in a larger scale. This is why his dumbass came out yesterday and supported Trump. Now Trump has a pair. He has a male one and a female one, because Omarosa's stupid ass is still all over television supporting him as well. Well,
Did you hear what she said?
She's not stupid. She's a token.
No, she's Omarosa's token ass.
Look, her allegiance.
She's in his pocket.
Exactly. And her allegiance to him reminds me of an interview that I saw with Candy Barris. Candy Barris did an interview for Huffington Post Live, and she was talking about how Jermaine Dupri called her and said to her, look, this is the anniversary of So-So death. I really would love for you to come through and reunite with the ladies from Escape. And she turned it down gracefully. But as she said, anyone else that would have came off to her about that, she would have shut it down, and that would have been it. But she had to listen to Jermaine. At the end of the day, this is the man that put her on. At the end of the day, if he had not given her the opportunity, she has no idea if she ever would have gotten the opportunity. So there's a degree of loyalty that she will always have to and for him, no matter what. No matter what Jermaine does, there's always going to be a degree of loyalty that she will always have to and for him. And that's the role I think Omarosa's playing right now. You know, look, she's a very smart woman. Trust me, she's very smart. I know way more about this lady than most people do. Not that we've dated anything like that. No, let's not get this twisted. I'm not saying that. Not at all. I'm not implying that. But I do know some very, very personal things about her beyond what the public knows. But there's a certain degree of loyalty that she will always have toward Donald Trump. And I'm not upset about that. That's your dude. He helped you, you know, really get over the hump, put you on the map, so on and so forth. I'm not upset about that. But there comes a point where we have to decide if the cancer can stay and it's okay, or I got to cut off the tata, because if I don't lose the tata, then I'm going to lose all of me. You know what I'm saying? You have to make that hard choice at some point. And really now, her and him need to come forward and say, yo, you know what? This ain't cool. We need to control our messaging a hell of a lot better, or I can no longer serve as your surrogate. I can no longer serve as your surrogate. I can't do it. And there's nothing wrong with them supporting him. Not upset about that. But he wasn't getting the black vote before. They're not really doing anything for him but shielding any criticism. Well, not any, but a lot of criticism that should be thrown his way, to be honest with you, about the lack of the black vote that he's getting, the lack of the programs, specific ideas and programs that he's projected toward blacks, Latinos, and all others in the minority, whom are slowly, but not even slowly, who are quickly becoming the majority. Yet he, as I said, he has a pair. Now he has a black female, so she has a double hit for him, female and black, and then he has a black male. So now he has a pair, a little puppets that he can throw out there and be a surrogate whenever folks pop off at him about not doing this and not doing that. Well, these are my friends. These are my supporters. Like the freaking reverends that had the meeting with him, what was that, about 2 months ago now?
Yeah.
And, you know, all up in the photo op. Similar situation. All right, so after last night, this morning, actually, early this morning, Trump tweets, liberals love the First Amendment until you say something they don't agree with. Donald Trump Jr. at Donald J. Trump Jr. Now, going back to what I said earlier in the week, in North Carolina, John McGraw, that's the 78-year-old guy, punched Rakeem Jones in the face, just straight sucker punched him. Now, after this happened, four deputies swooped in, rushed in, and forced him out of the rally. They didn't
swoop in and rush
Mr. McGraw out the rally. They swooped in and rushed Mr. Jones out the rally. Now, far be it for me to understand the logic there, because that doesn't make any damn sense to me whatsoever, but that's what happened. And another rally, I was watching the clip Rachel was showing, there, and this really got to me. There is a veteran, obviously a veteran. My man had the hat on. He had his pins on, whole nine, escorting a young lady out, and he's pushing her out of Trump's rally because she wanted to demonstrate and disrupt her the rally that he was attending. Now, the reason that got to me is because this cat is in the military. One of his pledges was to serve, was to protect this country against enemies both foreign and domestic. Now, if you don't think Donald J. Trump ass is an enemy of our country, then there's something wrong with you. I will and I will hold to it.
Because, you know, even with, you know, a veteran or just like the young Marine who was actually kicked out of the delayed entry program for the Marine Corps, you know, service members are civilians first. So they're people in general, and this speaks volumes to the shape of our society. There's racism in every aspect of our lives, to include the military. So, you know, mm-hmm. we can't get caught up in the fact that he's a human being. He's a human being. He's a person. So these people are empowered in every aspect of our society. They're being empowered now by Donald Trump. They're forgetting the fact mm-hmm. that by me being in the military or by me being a service member or a veteran, that I can't act certain ways still. Even if I'm out the military, mm-hmm. I still can't act a certain kind of way because I'm a veteran. So they're forgetting all of these things.
It messes with your benefits.
And they're forgetting these things. They're getting lost in this trance that Donald Trump has put on these folks, man. And they're empowered. They're like, yeah, you know, F niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, this is, you know, we want to make America white again. And you have some people in government who feel this way. You have some people in the military who feel this way. You have some people in private sector who feel this way. And he's given them that voice and that platform to really voice their frustrations and exhibit their frustrations. And that's what's happening right now. The twist is, at first, it would normally be, you know, one or two protesters that go to a rally, you know, and they come out there and they do their silent protest and they get bullied at the Trump rally. Now they're running mm-hmm. with their tails tucked between their legs because last night it was thousands of people protesting and thousands of people, you know, reacting and coming at the Trump supporters. Now all of a sudden it's a mm-hmm. problem. Now all of a sudden we need to fix this. We need to stop this. You know, we can't do this. You know, but mm-hmm. You know, when I was watching his videos, of course, the civic leader in me was like, yes, you know, they got him. But mm-hmm. then the critical thinker of me was like, we need to take pause and really calm down and maintain our dignity, because in a sense, everything that happened last night, even though I think it was impactful, the flip side to that is it's really going to give those supporters that "see, I told you so" attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I told you these niggas don't know how to act. I told you these are a whole bunch of monkeys. I told you that, you know, we need to, you know, make white America white again. Look at all these niggas and all these Muslims and all these Mexicans acting a fool.
Mm-hmm.
But when the white folks were doing it to the black protesters, it was white people making America white again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that, you know, again, while I was happy, we really need to slow it down just a little bit, maybe. I don't know, man. It's like I'm on a fence about it because I was happy. Like, yeah, they finally got at him. They finally impacted him. They finally broke it down, and they actually, you know, disrupted his rallies. You know, and it might mm-hmm. it might take it might have a big impact on his campaign. But then, like I said, the critical thing is like, man, you know, they really, you know, white people are probably sitting there, or I'm not going to just say white people, Trump supporters in general are really sitting back saying, you know, I told you these monkeys didn't know how to act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go ahead.
No. Finish your thought if you got more. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it's frustrating as hell, man, because, you know, I cut the TV on this morning and everybody's saying the same thing, like, I've never seen anything like this before. I've never seen anything like this before. And it's pissing me off because it might almost give him enough of more energy, more power. It's so daggone frustrating, man, to see, you know, this thing spilled out to the streets last night. You know, you got protesters along, you know, lining the streets. You got cars trying to push the protesters out of the road, like, out. You talking about terrorism. Like, now we're facing domestic terrorism through the acts of racism now.
Mm-hmm.
And people are okay with it. You know, you hear Omarosa saying, well, you get what you pay, you get what you ask for. You know, if you come to a Trump rally, you know it's going to go down like this. So if you come down here with that kind of attitude, then you get what you get. Like, they're okay with it, man.
Mm-hmm. You got to put it all in perspective and understand that this has been dolan and coming.
Yeah.
Why? Because of the way that our so-called elected leaders in Congress have behaved since the election, not selection, not insertion, but the election.
Yeah.
Of a two-term seating president. He was elected twice. And the first thing these jokers did, the very first thing these jokers did upon his election night was have a meeting and say he will not be successful. That's the very first thing they did. That's the very first thing they did. So, in essence, they kept America, the United States of America, from being successful. Because of their insistence upon being ignorant. And that disease has spread throughout the nation. It has spread throughout the nation, and we are going through it, and we will be going through it for some time. I've made no bones about it. No matter who the next president is, I think that person will be a one-term president. I think there will be a one-term president. I think there will be a quick move to change the guard because of the feeling that this election is a joke. This election is officially a joke. Pause for the cause. Family, if you want to get in the conversation, 818-691-7348. Again, 818-691-7348. 818-691-7348. This election is a joke. It's absolutely a joke. This one has been stolen. This one has been played with. We have clowns that are running for the highest office in the nation.
Hey, so let me ask you a question real quick.
The most powerful position, potentially one of the most powerful positions in the world. We have clowns, especially on the Republican side. Especially on the Republican side. The Democratic side, okay, pretty stable. You're going to have your array of folks. You know, you had O'Malley in there. He was a clown. He dropped off. So, you know, now you got Hillary and Bernie. You have your serious person, and you have your thief. I'm just saying, you choose which one is which. I'm not leading you anyway, but I'm just saying go Bernie. I'm just saying. This is what I say. I'm not leading you anyway, but I'm saying go Bernie. Goodness gracious.
But on
the other side, go ahead.
You say that this election is a joke. So what if Obama? No. I agree. What if Obama was allowed to run for a third term? Do you think he would win again?
Yes,
hands down.
Yes,
because the problem is the people who support the victories that Obama, that President Obama has had. We don't have the platforms like the people who support Trump have. So on TV, you hear Obama hasn't done this, Obama hasn't done that, but not everybody is watching TV1 and Roland Martin to actually break down the numbers and the successes that President Obama has had. But you're not going to hear that and see that on even on CNN to a certain degree. The only other person that I see that does it is Bill Maher, and he's hilarious. He's killing people. He's slaying people with the President Obama facts, and they can't say anything. But again, not too many people are watching Bill Maher. So you got the CNNs, you got the headline news, you got the MSNBC. They're, you know, coming up with all types of rhetoric and empty facts about what President Obama has not accomplished. So you're not seeing, or on a national scale, what the accomplishments are. You're not hearing about it. But it would not be shocking to me if President Obama was allowed to run for a third, fourth, or fifth term to see him elected each doggone term, because he has been successful, you know, on the first side. Then the second side, there's no relevant and viable Republican that can actually compete with any Democrat that we put up there, even if it is a serious candidate or a token. To me, it doesn't matter, because the Democrats have been able to shut it down and have been able to do it in a classy way, man. And with that, we're going to get the support. The supporters are going to come out there, and we don't have to go out there and incite violence and talk about and you know, draw racial divides in order for it to happen. It's been, the proof has been in the pudding type situation, and we've been successful at it.
Got into a discussion yesterday with a coworker about the good or lack thereof of President Obama, and she is not an Obama supporter. She's like, you know, I can't stand him. And I was like, well, what has he done that you can't stand? Well, as soon as he doesn't like the way it's supposed to go, he executes an executive order. And I was like, okay, but do you understand that
for everything?
Let me finish. He still has issued less executive orders in his entirety than most modern presidents in their first 4 years. Do you recognize that? Oh, you're an Obama supporter. Yes, sister, I am.
I'm a fact supporter.
I'm also there you go. But I'm also a political junkie, and as a supporter of his, I'm also one of his toughest critics. I do agree that some things we could have avoided had he pushed stronger, quicker than he did. I believe that in his first two and a half years, he was less decisive than he needed to be. That he came in on a tidal wave, which was the public, America's decree to the nation of what they wanted, and he should have pushed harder, sooner, faster to get a lot of things accomplished while he still had control of the House and the Senate. He did not. Therefore, we are where we are for a lot of reasons. But that was his choice, not mine. I think that he's rebounded well. I've always said that he is playing chess while others are playing checkers. And though he lost or failed to bring some things to the table that I would have loved to have seen, heard, talked more about, I think the things that he has been able to do far outweigh my estimates of what he would be able to do. I mean, seriously, let's think about this. Whom would have thought that in his first 4 years he would have gotten Osama bin Laden out, gotten what's the brother's name? And I'm sorry, killed Osama bin Laden. Gotten the dictator in Iraq.
Saddam.
Huh?
Saddam.
Yes. Saddam Hussein out. Thank you. Gotten Saddam Hussein out. Who would have thought that he would have gotten health care passed? Who would have thought that he would have worked a plan, a master plan, to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell, to end DOMR, the Defense of Marriage Act, killed that. Cuba signed an agreement with Iran. Who does this? This dude has accomplished goals in his 6 to 7, because his 8 years isn't here yet. 6 to 7 years that president upon president upon president have been trying since the 70s. And this dude did it in 6 to 7 years. Are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me right now? Who does that?
He's destroying America, though. Like, we are so bad.
He's the worst.
That's like the that's like one of the videos that I don't know what I was doing, man. I was just in a groove, and I just kept watching a whole bunch of videos, videos of facts that President Obama has things that he's accomplished. And Bill Maher killed it when in a comedic way that he does it. He asks people, you know, so you want America to be back to the way it was before President Obama, you know, took office. And he was like, so what was so great about $3 trillion deficit? What was so great about the economy before President Obama came into office? What was so great about healthcare before President Obama came back into office? What was so great about 9/11 and having two wars going on at the same time? You want to go back to that? You know what I'm saying? Like what are you really
gas
saying?
Price is almost almost $5 a gallon. Stock market tripled since he's been in. Are you serious right now?
Like unemployment rates were 19-20% among like you want to go back to that? Like are you really saying you want to go back? But the point is, the people who want to go back to that were the people who benefited from an America that was in disarray. Those people want to go back to the average American being, you know, just devastated by the economy and seeing no way out. But everything that President Obama has enacted has empowered all Americans to really go back to living the American dream. And the people who are impacted by that, and people who have the employers who have to make sure that their employees have health care, which is taking money, you know, from their bottom line, those are the people who want to see America back to where it was before, because it takes money out of their pocket. You know, so you really want to say that President Obama has made this country worse by the good things that he's put into place for all Americans?
Mm-hmm.
Like Ted Cruz just said, you know, a few minutes ago, that America needs a president that's for all Americans, not just for the top half of America, but for all Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what President Obama has represented from the beginning, is representing all of America, the needs and the interests of all of America, portions of America. And that's what people are really failing to understand or failing to realize when they say we want to make America great again. America was great back then for the people who were on the top and that was it. Anybody else, you know, you scratch and survive, you pretty much live like a third world country, you know, inside of America.
Well, we're not going to turn this into a total Obama show, because it's not about Obama all the way. But he got beef. He got caught some flack, too, about not going to Nancy Reagan's funeral. May she rest in peace, by the way. You know, she was a former first lady. May she rest in peace.
Yeah.
But no one no president, no modern president has gone to a first lady. It's customary for the first lady to go to the first lady's funeral. That's the normal thing. That's what they do. What was the beef? I don't get it. Even Bush, he didn't attend the funeral of Mrs. Johnson. He sent Laura. Reagan didn't attend Truman's wife's funeral. He sent Nancy. I mean, this is what they do. This is what they do. What was the beef? Moving on. Sanders wins Ohio. No, not the vote. The vote didn't happen yet. But Sanders people contested a ruling by the Ohio Secretary of State, John Husted, in which he put out a manual about voting in December of last year, December last year, about who could vote and who couldn't vote. Now, it has been common practice in Ohio that if you were 17 years old at the point of the primary, you could vote if you were going to be in the presidential election. You could vote in elections if you were going to be 18 by the time the general election happened. So he comes through and says he doesn't, you know, that's not allowed. We're not going to let that happen. Well, Franklin County Judge Richard Fry comes back, ruled on Friday, that 17-year-olds can, in fact, vote in Tuesday's election, because this is when Ohio goes to the polls. This should be a boost to Bernie Sanders, because a lot of younger folks are connecting with his message. sad for Hillary Clinton, but a lot of younger folks are more connected to Bernie than they are to her. She's still reeling just a tad bit because they lost Michigan. Now, Michigan should be an indicator, of how both Ohio and Illinois are going to go. Should be, because they similar economy, similar motivators for the economy, the auto industry, so on and so forth. So if he picks those up, this is truly a tailwind for the Sanders campaign, because please remember, he's still getting his ass kicked in regards to delegates, you know, but he has the money to go the distance no matter what. So at the convention, because no one is totally locked in, people still have a choice to make. So he, if he really picks up some nice numbered states, delegate-wise, and he wins nicely, handily would be great, but if he just wins nicely, this puts some doubt in Hillary Clinton's campaign, in my opinion. Most folks are still jumping on the Clinton bandwagon because they owe allegiances to Bill. Honestly, Bill made a lot of things happen with folks. This was pre the elimination of pork and bills. So, you know, there was a lot of pork stuff here, a lot of pork money stuff there for these special projects back in people's home states and home districts, to where they still owe allegiances to Bill. So they are coming out and fighting for Hillary. In addition to that, she was the former Secretary of State. Again, she then helped people out, so on and so forth. Let's not get it twisted. This is still politics. We know what we do. You know, she was definitely in that job thinking about her next job, which was being the President of the United States of America. Let's be real.
Oh, definitely.
She
was not
just sitting there like, well, I love what I'm doing now and I'll be fine. You know, that's why this whole facade about her taking a break and trying to figure out if she wanted to run for president. I'm like, come on, dog. Everybody their mama knows she's going to run for president. She wants to be the president. She wants to be the first female president ever, and it's going to happen. I still say that she's not going to pick another female running mate. She will pick a male running mate who is younger. I still say that boy Castro is going to be her running mate. It makes sense. I'm sticking by my guns. It is what it is.
You sure they want somebody with the last name Castro to be in the White House?
Hey.
You know, that's just like, that's no different from President Obama, who's not a U.S. born citizen. They got to check his birth certificates and stuff, man.
Right.
Might not be a good move.
with the middle name Hussein, President
Barack
Hussein
Obama.
Really?
Everything about his name says not American. Like,
he's a terrorist.
Oh my God. Shit is ridiculous.
He's
man.
A Muslim outsider. You know, he wasn't born here. Well, we know Ted Cruz wasn't born here, but, you know, that's not stopping
that's
him from running for the President of the United States of America.
Okay,
so, that's okay. But
you know
what,
you think about
it,
most Republicans weren't born here anyway, you know what I'm saying? So it's okay. You know, outside of Bush, maybe. But we ain't going to go there.
Yeah, we could have skipped that shrubbery. Speaking, one last thing about Obama, he is in Texas this weekend. He is attending the South by Southwest conference down there. And if you've not been to this, go to South by Southwest. This is like a whole month worth of events. It's not a weekend like it used to be. It's not a week like it grew to be. This thing is like a whole damn month. I had no idea until I moved to Texas how big this thing is. It is huge. It is huge down there. And when I tell you everybody is there, everybody. It's not just techies. There are music industry moguls. There are there's everything, man. There are fashion shows. There's celebrity golf tournaments, celebrity softball tournaments. You name it. It all happens at South by Southwest. It is an entire month of events that go on down in Austin, man. It is huge. I know I'm borrowing from Trump. This is my Trump moment. It's huge. Don't know how huge it's going to be. I'm just saying it's going to be huge. Trust me, it's going to be huge. This thing is huge. It is definitely worth it. He is the first sitting president to attend the event in his 30-year history. Now, he went down to talk over a number of things, trying to get the techies on the side of the government, so on and so forth. But obviously with the lawsuit and the fight looming between Apple and the government, that was the biggest topic on folks' minds. And they asked him about that more so than anything else. And his stance was obviously leaning with the DOJ. He wanted folks to be able to give access to the government if they asked for it, saying that there should be room for a compromise, so on and so forth, speaking to and intelligently too, like, look, if you don't give us access, if there's no back door whatsoever for us to get in, here's the problem. How do we catch the child pornographers? How do we catch the terrorists? So on and so forth. My answer to that, Mr. President, is do some damn detecting like people did before they had cell phones. I mean, come on, dog. I understand the world is changing. I understand that the world is getting more technical and more and more young folks are getting tech savvy. But there has to be drawn lines between our freedom and our protection. And it's very easy to convince people to give up their freedom for their protection. It is the most common used ploy. This is how the Germans were tricked by the Third Reich to give up their freedoms, because they kept telling, they were told it was for your protection. These people are going to hurt you. So if you give us a little more, then we'll be able to protect you. And, you know, hey, these folks were desperate. Their asses were whipped after World War One. They were looking for anything and everything to give them national pride. And the Nazis came in and promised them that they would be better if only they were. They, you know, just give us this now and once we get back on our feet, we'll give it back. But we need the ability to run the news right now because we want to make you feel strong. We want to make you feel proud. So we're going to do nothing but put up great stories about what's happening with the motherland, the fatherland. And slowly but surely, they gave up this freedom. They gave up that freedom. They gave up this freedom. But it was only for a short while. Yeah, that shit don't work so good. Yeah, that don't work so good. Once you give it up, it's usually gone. I spoke to that feverishly when the TSA was invented. I said, we will never, ever, ever get rid of that organization. It will never go away. Never go away. And if anything, it's going to become more intrusive. Ha ha. What happened? They started putting that damn scanner, that full body scanner thingy going on. You know what I'm saying? Even more intrusive. Once you start down that slippery slope, very rarely does power ever concede back to where it did not exist.
Yeah, like
once
we get the hold, you know, like once we get in there, we get buy-in, and we prove that the little bit of buy-in that we do have is working, then it just gives us the window or the doorway. Or the, you know, the whole entire street wide to go ahead and impose even more, you know, and like you say, that happens in general with power. Once power is able to overwhelm and succumb, you know, the weaker side, then it really flexes its power even more, and that happens in every aspect of our lives. You know, whether it comes from, you know, security to money, to whatever case it be. Once the power
to
is
marriage.
Established. Huh?
To marriage. It's like being married.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you're dating, everything is cool. As soon as you say I do, she owns you. It's a totally different
yeah,
situation.
How about that?
People change.
Happy
totally different situation.
Month, baby.
Yeah, so
it's the truth.
There is a couple of things that I was wrong about, and I would like to acknowledge them right now. Thing number one, and my heart was broken, but I was talking to Barry Michael Cooper. If you don't know who Barry Michael Cooper is, get familiar. You need to read more credits like I do. Barry Michael Cooper is the writer of New Jack City, Sugar Hill, Above the Rim. He wrote all three of those movies. So Barry and I were kicking back and forth on Twitter because it's the anniversary of New Jack City. So I said, yo, I have the most pressing question ever. And I know you've been asked a million and one times, but I'm going to ask you again. When Nino saved that little, when Nino grabbed that little girl off the steps, was he saving her or using her for a shield? He said, yo, he was using her for a shield. I said, son of a bitch, I thought you left a little bit of decency in this dude. He said, nah, bro, not at all, man. He was a monster. He was a monster. And, you know, I didn't want to leave any room in that story about him being anything else but a monster. And I was like, hold on, what do you mean that story? So he said, yeah, I've actually written a prequel to New Jack City. I was like, are you serious? He said, yeah, you know, it's about how Nino became Nino, how he grew up, and what things happened to him to change him into the monster that he is. So for years, I have defended Nino Brown, saying that he was not that bad of a dude, only to be told I was wrong. So I definitely wanted to acknowledge that. The second one is Daylight Saving Time, not Savings Time, not with an S, but Daylight Saving Time. Daylight Saving Time starts this Sunday, Sunday morning, 02. For you non-military folks, that's 2 a.m. in the morning, which means set your damn clocks forward before you go to sleep because your ass ain't going to be up at 2 o'clock. So this week, we spring forward. We lose an hour. Now, I was under the impression, because this is what I was taught, and I actually saw some text that confirmed this, but obviously I read the wrong damn text, that this was all about farming. The reason the changes were made was to allow the farmers to get their crops in and or the cattle barns to get the – that's time zones with the cattle barns. But the farming to get their items to market before it was too late. Now, come to find out that Congress actually enacted daylight saving, not savings time, during World War One and again during World War Two. The goal was to have the peoples of the United States of America. Now, I hate when we say Americans because we are not Americans. We are the peoples of the United States of America. There's a South America, there's a North America, there's a Central America. We're not all of those people. We simply live in the United States. So that's why I try to stress the citizens of the U.S. The citizens of the U.S. to utilize less energy. And it worked. Sort of. A 2008 Department of Energy study found that only, you ready for it?
Are you ready for this?
0.03% energy was reduced because of the implementation of daylight saving time. So the thought process was you would burn less light, so on and so forth, because, you know, you have a longer day. Yeah, no, we're spoiled.
Mm.
We're still burning.
Right, right. TV still on all night, light still on all day and all night.
Tablets and cell phones and you know, laptops and Bluetooth this and Bluetooth that. Yeah, nah.
This is what I'm going to do with that information you just gave me. I'm going to take the second part you said, ball it up, throw it in the trash. The first part you gave me with the farmer stuff, I'm going to hold on to that because that one sounds more logical to me. So I'm just going to hold on to that. I'll forget everything you said afterwards about World War II and everything else was being sucked for our saving energy because it was a waste of breath. You know, 72 round with that. So, yeah, hey, so the there reason why daylight saving time was created, folks, was so that the crops, so the farmers could get their crops in in time. So, you know, that's why it was created. Check.
Now, so, speaking of farmers, they are not – go ahead.
No, you good.
Speaking of farmers, they are not so happy down south right now. The waters are quickly rising in both Louisiana and the SIP. So much so that the National Weather Service has ordered numerous flash flood warnings, and the governors of both states have relayed to their folks in the affected areas to run to higher ground. Now, so far, there have been 400 homes lost to flooding. 4 people have been killed. In Greenville, Mississippi, there have been 12 inches of rain reported. In Clarksdale, Mississippi, there have been 14 inches of rain reported. The last of the 400, there were 100 homes in Pine Belt, Mississippi, by itself lost to flooding. The Bogue Fala River is expected to crest at 21.5 feet, which is endangering Albeda Springs in Madisonville, Louisiana. Now, if Albeda rings a bell to anyone, that's 9 times out of 10 because you are a drunkard like me. Now, I don't enjoy the Purple Haze, the Turbo Dog, but I do enjoy their root beer. It's very, very, very good. It is a staple of Louisiana. It is a Louisiana product. It is very, very good. I promise you, that stuff is schmeeve. It's very schmeeve. But this right here is not good for anybody. So please check on your folks, not only in Louisiana, Mississippi, but also in Texas, because when one gets hit, all three usually get hit, especially around Houston. Good Lord, Houston will flood in a heartbeat. If it rains in 10 minutes, you got flash flood warnings in Houston. I don't understand how these jokers build their cities without planning for water, but it happens. It's like Fayetteville. You know, Fayetteville will flood out no time because they were stupid in building that city as well. But check on your folks if you have folks in those areas, because they very well may need your help sooner rather than later. You know, this is sad that we're talking about this. It's still in the background of a lot of people's minds on what happened during Katrina. And, you know, natural disasters just seem to follow this region of the country. You know, I've often said that I would move to New Orleans in a heartbeat, and I would if it wasn't for shit like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, your boy can deal with snow. I don't mind snow. Snow is nothing to me. You know when it's coming, you see it on the radar, you're like, oh, it'll be here in a day or two. You know, you go out, you buy some bread, some toilet paper, some milk, like every damn body else.
Or not.
You know, or not, right, or not, if you already have it in the crib, you know. Look, last time it was snow, everyone in Walmart buying paper, toilet paper, toilet paper, cheese, bread, milk, da, da, da. I'm in that mug buying steak and what did I also buy? I bought some lemonade and
some rice.
What the hell?
Like, dog, got me some charcoal, you know what I'm saying?
You know, I have those things at home already. I'm not worried about no snow. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't have those things in your home.
Yeah, I learned my lesson when I was stationed up in upstate New York, man. And, you know, we got whiteouts. We got, you know, feet of snow. Feet with an S.
Right.
And just, man, like, like, same thing. Bread, Kool-Aid, you know what I'm saying? Eggs, everybody, you know, raiding the daggone store. So I wanted to do something different. So just like you, I went and got some steaks, I went and got chicken, I went and got ribs, I went and got all the fixings, I got seafood, and I got a whole bunch of charcoal. Because I was like, okay, if, you know, crap hit the fan, you know, energy go out, I'm not going to be able to cook nothing on the stove, so I want to be able to grill.
Right.
So, yes, when the snow hit, I cleared me out a path on the patio, I started my grill up, and I was out there grilling. Mm-hmm. I had steak, you know, daggone asparagus, baked potatoes, all types of stuff, sitting down there, you know, reading a book, whatever the case may be, playing games with the family while everybody else is eating cereal and chewing on bread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, hey, forget all that traditional grocery list when you think that the snow is coming. I'm getting the lobster. I'm getting the shrimp. I'm getting the fish.
There you go.
I'm eating big. You know what I'm saying? If I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out happy. I ain't going to go out hungry.
Yeah, that is I was just laughing at these jokers, man. I'm like, yo, you need to always have that stuff at the crib. You know, shout out to Costco. I'm a big Costco shopper. I don't let anything stop me from stocking up on the essentials. I mean, you, because the other side of that is, in all seriousness, man, when they talk about snow up around these feet, people bum rush the stores. You'd be lucky to find a freaking gallon of milk, some eggs, or some cheese, or some damn bread. It's crazy. For real crazy. So, yeah, no, I ain't messing around with that. I'm not messing around with that. Speaking of crazy, Chipotle CEO, their pay got cut in half. Now, don't cry, because their half and your half are three different things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Steve Ells and...
I saw this, and I'm like, why the hell is this news? Like, they still, you know, sitting pretty, but okay. You know what?
Steve Ells and Monte Moran are the two CEOs of Chipotle. So because of the hit that they went through, obviously with the E. coli and all that type of jazz, they took a hit for their compensation. Now, their compensation for last year, Mr. Ells was paid $13.8 million, that's $1 million for his time. Mr. Moran was paid 13.6. Yeah, they got cut in half. Their base salaries increased merely by just over $100,000. Just merely. And here's the kicker. Here it comes. You ready for it? Neither were awarded stock options. Neither one of them were awarded stock options. Yes, that is the kicker. Now, the year before, the year before, both were given stock options in the amount of $23.7 million. Both of them got $23.7 million in stock options. Now, this stock was trading at one point like almost $700, in the $700 range. Crazy. Can you imagine that? That's crazy. Chipotle. This isn't Apple. This isn't Google. This is freaking Chipotle. Their stock is moving at $700, in the $700 share range. Sick, man. Absolutely sick. On a more positive note, she said yes. Russell Wilson, star quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, 27, popped the question to his short/longtime girlfriend, Sierra, the singer, who's 30. And she said yes. Congratulations to Russell and Sierra. You know, they've yet to set a date, and they still are not having sex. So the ring is on, the date is not set, and there's no sex. So go Russell. He's a winner. Don't know what he won in that damn bargain, but he's a winner. What? Stop looking like that. Stop laughing. Just go ahead and laugh. Don't try to not laugh. Don't try to not laugh. It is what it is. Shit, I mean, hey, he a better man than me.
I'm telling you.
You know, I'm like Eddie Murphy. When Eddie Murphy talked about Michael Jackson taking Brooke Shields to the Oscars. You know, none of y'all bitched about Mike taking Brooke to the Oscars, but if I took Brooke to the Oscars, y'all would have had a damn heart attack. That's because y'all know Brooke would have get fucked that night. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm just saying. Sierra ain't going to be coming over the crib with me just like, hey, what's going on, boo? Boo. We need to renegotiate these terms. Like, you know, I saw that video you was on. Yeah, we might need to renegotiate these terms, man, Shawty. I mean, what we got to do to get right? Cause it's been a long season and it was rough toward the end. I'm just saying.
Hey, yo, speaking of winning, though, man, your boy, Cat Williams, man, he's been winning in the TV ratings, you know, but he's been losing in every other aspect of
his life and his career at this point. You know, I was actually considering going to his show, and I think he's performing in Houston in a couple of weeks. But, you know, the dude apparently or allegedly was stomped out at a Beanie Siegel concert in Philly. Allegedly, he was robbed and he lost a vehicle in a dice game. You know, apparently he was on stage doing push-ups, wilding out for like hours. Like he turned this concert into the Cat Williams show. Immediately after that, like I think the next day or 2 days later, he was arrested in Atlanta, where his house was raided. They found guns, they found drugs, his house. He was arrested, released on a $60,000 bond. Before the Beanie Siegel concert, he went in on Kevin Hart and what's the boy name? Chris Rock. Called Chris Rock a coon. Later on, apologized to Kevin Hart. You know, gave Kevin Hart his props. You know, he apologized to Tigger for some remarks that he made about Tigger. The dude has been all over the place, man, with a bunch of
nonsense, illogical thoughts.
I mean, yeah, so, and that's the thing about it. When you hear Cat Williams speak, man, he's very intelligent. But the guy,
absolutely,
he's clearly on something. He won't admit it, but he is clearly on something, man. This dude is wilding out on the regular. You know, on one hand, he sits back, he's articulate, you know, he's talking about, he's addressing political concerns, he's addressing the political agenda of the Democrats, he's on it. Then he does something like what he did on stage at the Beanie Siegel concert. Then he does a YouTube video in a mask and a gun talking about how if he got jumped, then he wouldn't. I mean, he's all over the place, man. I hope the guy gets some help. You know, we need to pray for Cat Williams because he is a legend, but he's losing that legacy. You know, he's damaging his legacy every day now for some reason. And the Cat has money. He still has money.
Is he the DMX of comedy? I'm just asking.
Dude, that's exactly what he sounds like. Talented, man, gifted. I mean, it's captivating. You know what I'm saying? Like, just like you said, as far as DMX, when DMX speaks, even now, he could be high as a kite. But when he speaks, everybody's listening to him. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes they say some of the dumbest things, they do some of the dumbest things, but you know that they're better than that. So you kind of feel sorry for them and whatever issues that they're going through. You know what I'm saying? I just hope that for Cat Williams, it doesn't turn out into a more violent situation than anything else, you know, because he's really coming at some people real hard. And some of these cats ain't just going to sit back and keep letting them do it, just like the North Koreans and the South Koreans. You know, they're going to, you know, it's only been so long.
See, to me, I have a different perspective on that. And I know you said we should talk about that on the show. And we will, and then we'll get to the sports stuff, and then, you know, we'll wrap it up so we can get out of here. But Korea, to me, is the forgotten war. As citizens of the United States of America, the majority of us tend to forget that war is still going on. It never stopped. The only thing that we did was sign a ceasefire. That was it. The war is still going on. We have been engaged in that war since 1950. Let me say it again. We have been engaged in that war since 1950. And folks, every day it goes down in Korea. Freak it going down in the DM. It goes down in the DMZ every fucking day. Every day, somebody's getting shot. Somebody's getting shot at. Somebody's coming across. Let's be real. Somebody's coming across. The North Koreans lost the submarine. Them fuckers didn't lose no submarine. They shot that mug, as they usually do, down the ocean, the Yellow Sea, in the South Korea, and they lost contact with the goddamn thing, and they don't want to tell that they shot it down, as they always are doing. So now they're saying they lost it, so later on they can come back and say, well, it must have been a system malfunction, you know what I'm saying, and that's why it went off course. Knowing full and damn well we just scrambled three B-52s over to Asia. Three B-52s. And let me tell you something. The last time they were over there, they went to Guam. They ain't in Guam this time. I can guarantee you. I don't even know this, but I know they ain't in Guam this time. Nine times out of ten, one is probably in Guam, one is probably at Yokota, and the other one's at Osan Air Force Base. Fuck it. I'm going to let you know where they are. And again, this is just a guess from my experience. One is at Osan, one is at Guam, and the other one's at Yokota. So if they have to scramble, they're far enough away to where all three of them can't get hit at once, yet they're close enough to where they can hit your ass and be back in no time. You know what I'm saying? Add on to that, the spy program we already got there with the planes. Add on to that, this idiot keeps pushing and pushing, talking about he's detonating short-range missiles and shit like that. Dude, this dude wants attention because Putin's getting all the damn attention. Let's be real. But then Putin said, was it Putin? Yeah, it was Putin. Putin said, if these fuckers keep fucking up, we're going to go in there and invade them. So they are really losing friends. You know what I'm saying? Seriously. Yeah. And then the Chinese are like, yo, what are y'all doing? The Chinese prime minister got to be like, yo, come on, son. I'm trying to get shit to normal. My currency is just going crazy right now. I'm inflating it all kinds of ways, cutting interest rates. I don't need this shit right now, son. What are you doing, yo? Come on, man. Get right, dog. Get right, because this ain't helping me right now. Trust me. This is not helping me right now. You know, oil came back, and this is all connected. Oil came back only because the factories had, the refineries had to shut down because they're adding the ethanol that they burn every summer. So that's the only reason that oil is back right now. Give it another 2 to 3 weeks, gas prices are going to fucking plummet. They're going to plummet. Why? Because it's still too much gas on the free market right now. It's too much traveling around. And now you'll have even more because the ethanol is going in. So you need less of crude to make the damn gas. So gas prices are going to go crazy low real fast. As soon as them refineries start to come back on, crazy low. Crazy low. Because it's just too much damn oil. It's too much sweet crude right now on the market. Way too much. So that doesn't help China either. You know what I'm saying? So this dude is sitting back like, yo, come on, son. This is not the time. This is not the time. The U.S. and the South Koreans are already conducting war games, annually scheduled, already happening. A freaking carrier has been scrambled to the area. Are you serious right now? You really want this to come to your back door?
They actually just talked about in about 8 weeks how they're having these joint exercises with the South Koreans, U.S. citizens, U.S. soldiers, about 17,000 U.S. soldiers, and about 283,000 Korean troops, along with to include Marines, and how their war games are picking up more now. Because of everything that's happening. I mean, to go about what you said as far as the war continuing, I mean, it's gone from, you know, physical to cyber.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one of our newest, biggest threats. You know, we're always right. having cyber attacks. You know, the South Koreans have always been cyber attacked. And it's the war games are going back and forth every single year, annually, sometimes two times a year. There's some kind of right. you know threat or some kind of activity that's going on, and like you said, the Chinese is like, yo, come on, like I mean, like give us a break, bro. Like you said, like we just got this stuff back on track, man. We about to blow up. You know what I'm saying? You throwing salt in the game. And what it boils down to, you know what I'm saying? But what it boils down to is old boy Kim. He's spoiled, man. He's a spoiled little brat. And like you said, Putin and Trump. Putin and Trump is getting all the attention right now, and he wants to, you know, he wants to get that rise out of people and bring the attention back to him. definitely boils down
to because
I'm not saying
because we have we have brother Michael calling in from Minnesota. He wants to add his perspective to the conversation. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, welcome to the show, bro.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for having me on. I had a quick question for both of you. You guys can kind of give your take on it. I'm noticing in America there's a real clear dividing line politically between the liberal and conservative view, you know, politically. And I just wanted to know, like, what side of that do you guys stand on? What side of the spectrum?
You can take it first.
Well, you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. Brother, this is Lee, and I don't have a side. My decisions are based off of whomever platform and policies support my desires. So I'm not one who is conservative nor liberal. I really have the duality in my life where there are a lot of things about me that are extremely conservative. There are certain things that I will absolutely never not do. It's just not going to happen. But there are other things and a whole lot of things that I am very much, hey, let's go. You know, and because of that, I have pulled myself from my allegiance to the Democratic Party because I did have that allegiance in my youth. As I've gotten older, I have labeled myself more of an independent who tends to lean Democratic, to be honest with you, because of social issues versus conservative because not only of the social issues, but they stupid. I mean, at the end of the day, they are stupid. And I say that because they had their own autopsy which said that they needed to expand their tent to bring more people in, and yet they continue to narrow and narrow that tent. That's not good for anybody. We need as many people engaged in the process as we possibly can get so that we can get the best outcome from the process. So that's the way I lean. Go ahead, cousin.
You know, I probably should have went first because I probably could have said, I'll speak for the both of us when I
Oh, man. But he was going to say, I'm sorry, he was going to agree with me because we both lean the same way. And that's not just because we're family, but honestly, he has taken some time to come that way as well. And that's how he too leans. And I'm going to let him finish saying what he needed to say because he hit his bag on mic and pulled it out. Go ahead.
That hadn't happened in a minute. But like I was saying, what it boils down to is the older you get and the wiser you get in politics, you really understand what politics really is. And you don't allow yourself to get caught up in the social aspect of, hey, I'm black, so I have to be Democrat. Or my mama was raising me to be Democrat, so I have to be Democrat. You know, once you get more mature in politics, you really understand that it is what it is. You know, what's the word I'm looking for? In politics, the candidates are going to tell you, and they're going to try to persuade you to vote for their platform, and they're going to try to give you the feeling of, hey, look, I'm on your side. Deep down inside, just like what President Obama saying, you know, the Hope campaign and the Yes We Can campaign, you have to understand that even with him, there were some things that he was never going to be able to accomplish, even though he wanted you to believe that he was going to accomplish every single thing that he set up to do. In politics, you really have to understand and see and figure out which candidate has your best interests at heart. And if that happens to be a Republican, hey, by all means, that Republican is going to get my vote. If it happens to be a Democrat, that Democrat is going to get my vote. Because what you have to look at is the policies that the person is trying to put in place that's going to affect you 10, 20, 30 years down the line, not the week after they get elected, what's going to take effect. You know, 2 years after they get elected, what's going to take effect. You have to look at the shape of the party, where the parties are, where Congress is sitting, where everybody's leaning to, who they're supporting, and how these things are going to impact us 20, 30 years in the line. So that allows me to be versatile in the fact that, hey, I don't necessarily have to pick a side,
I have to pick the best qualified candidate. And that's what a lot of people are missing nowadays, is picking the best qualified candidate. Right now, we don't see any besides Bernie Sanders, and guess what? He's not really winning the way he should be, because people are getting caught up in, you know, their feelings, their emotions, and not the actual strategies behind politics.
Hey, Brother Mike, I got to ask you a quick question. You said in the U.S. you've noticed. Are you from the United States?
Yeah.
You said yes?
Yep, I'm from the U.S.
Okay. Hey, did we answer your question?
Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to have like an understanding of where you guys were, but
No problem.
The second man's point, he brought up about how he believes Bernie Sanders is the most qualified candidate or the only one now. And I guess from that, then you would agree, that means to me that fundamentally you agree with the socialist political worldview.
Come again?
Based on your statement that you believe that Bernie Sanders is the only qualified candidate remaining, that would tell me that fundamentally then you agree with the socialist political worldview. You believe that socialism is a viable form of political system that could operate in America. Is that what you're...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
Well, so again, when you're looking at a candidate, they're going to feed you some stuff that you agree with, just like we said about President Obama earlier today. There's some things that I totally disagree with that President Obama has done or has not done. But in my opinion, he's been the most successful president that we've had in the last 30 plus years. But so the same thing with Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders says some things I don't agree with. But the one thing that I, as a parent, that he's really won me on is his views on public education. As a minority, as a person who went through the public school system, and as a college student, and as a father of six children, education is the key component, in my opinion, to the success of future America. That is the component to me. Everything else really doesn't matter in my mindset as far as the shaping the future of America. I'm deeply involved in community engagement in regards to education. I'm constantly looking at different ways that we can introduce professions to kids in elementary school and stuff. So education is the forefront to me as far as the shape of America later on down the line. He's addressed and he's come up with different policies that addresses education for future America, in my opinion, better than any other candidate out there. So for that aspect, regardless of anything else that he might say that I don't agree with, that right there has sold me on Bernie Sanders. Nobody else has hit me personally on those particular things that matter to me. And that's the problem I think that a lot of people don't have. We can't group candidates and say, okay, well, because this group like this candidate, then I'm going to go with that group. You have to look at it individually. You have to vote individually. You can't vote as a group because you go in there one person at a time and you cast your own ballot. When you sell yourself out to groups, that's when we put the wrong candidate into office.
Hey, Mike, thank you for your time. Thank you for your comments, sir. You are more than welcome to listen to the rest of the show. We got to move on, though, because we want to talk about the NFL and a lot of the moves that were made this week with free agency. And the biggest one for me was Brock Osweiler, to be honest with you. Brock Osweiler took the bait, ran to Houston to join the Texans in a four-year deal. It was a four-year deal worth $60 million, I believe. That's what he took to get out of there. $72 million, I'm sorry, $72 million. Now, this cat was the heir apparent to Peyton Manning in Denver, but the Broncos felt that they could do without his services, so they didn't match his offer. They couldn't come to an agreement, so he cut loose and ran. The Raiders, though, have been the most active, and I think they've built the best resume thus far.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what they're going to do with the quarterback situation, but they signed Sean Smith, a cornerback from the Chiefs, Bruce Irvin, linebacker from the Seahawks, dedication to defense right off the bat, and then Kalasi Asamel, the offensive guard from the Ravens, who took a 5-year, $60 million contract. Now, the other interesting moves, in my opinion, Brett Grimes went to the Bucks. Now, he's a cornerback that came out of the Dolphins organization, and the thing that was interesting about him to me was his wife. Not his play, not his ability, but his wife really hindered his chances of moving around because of things that she's put on Instagram and Facebook. Now,
it didn't. The dude by the time to deal with the Buccaneers is done. Like, he was on the market for 2 days. Like, he's not a freaking A1, you know, cornerback. He's not Darrell Revis. You know what I'm saying? He's not shut down. He's not freaking, what's the kid name from Carolina? Dude, I can't remember his name for some reason. He's not that guy.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So he was on the market for 2 days, and now he about to sign a deal with the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. Like, his wife has nothing to do with him not getting picked up on day one. It's his ability. It's the fact that his status, he's not an A1 cornerback. He's Brent Grimes. Like, it is what it is. If it wasn't for her, you would probably wouldn't know who the hell he is, to be honest with you.
Mm.
So
I got you. So, yeah, Matt Forte went to the Jets. Marvin Jones went to the Lions for 5 years, $40 million. That was after Megatron retired. That was a surprise that Megatron retired. Chris Hogan went to the Patriots. He's a wide receiver.
Mohamed Sanu ended up in Atlanta.
Yep.
Crazy move, but good for him.
Hey, get that money, man. You know, it's a very limited lifespan when you play in the NFL, so I'm happy that these young men were able to make moves for themselves and their families for the short and the long term. You know what I'm saying? But on that note, Sam, you got anything else to add?
Love, live life. Go Obama.
You stupid. You stupid. Well, family, we thank you for once again joining us. We look forward to having you with us next week. Thank you, Brother Mike, for calling in, being a part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And as we always say, you all be good, you be safe. If it's Saturday morning, we're keeping it real. This is what we do. Y'all take it easy, family. Peace.
Get at me, dogs.